This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
So hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. So if you all would kind of get settled and take your seats. So welcome and happy new year. Welcome to another year of Crail C presentations. So we're glad you're here today. So Father Chuck has been working with the staff in our monthly meetings, reviewing the core values of St. David's. And so I thought, well, it'd probably be good for us to have a review of the core values, especially in the new year, as a parish. And they're on our website with testimonies from different parishioners about what that core value means to them. And so I put together a series on the core values. It's a four-week series. So I was very excited that this series is going to be kicked off today with Rebecca Hall and some folks from the Abbey. Rebecca and I meet on a regular basis because she is part of the formation staff and work here at St. David's. And the work of the Abbey, the ministry of the Abbey, is also a part of St. David's. And I've been in this role for 3 years, and Rebecca has been directing the Abbey in the way that it's currently configured for 3 years. And we thought, you know, we really need to keep the Abbey and the work of the Abbey in the consciousness of St. David's and this parish. And so it just was perfect timing, perfect opportunity to invite Rebecca and some folks, Janet and Linda from the Abbey, to come and talk to us about the Abbey, but also to lead us in some practices that the Abbey often engages in. So, Rebecca, I'm going to turn this over to you and let you lead us.
Thanks, Mona. Hi, everybody. Today is going to be very interactive, and hopefully we share a lot at the Abbey. We're more like guides on the side and not sage on a stage. That's what we, one of the things that we say. So we're going to guide this group through a couple of exercises where we can explore the concepts of authenticity and connection. But before we do that, I'm going to introduce the Abbey, or reintroduce the Abbey, because before the pandemic, the Abbey and the adult formation program were pretty connected. And during the pandemic, and when I left the position at the church and went to the seminary, we decided that it would be beneficial both to the church and to the Abbey to separate them, because the missions are a little bit different. And so I'm going to talk about what does the Abbey do, and what are our missions, and how do we operate? And then we're going to experience how the Abbey operates. So what is the mission of the Abbey? Well, the Abbey started in 2019 as a place primarily to explore more deeply the contemplative stream in both the Christian tradition and in other traditions. And we wanted it to be kind of open to both the contemplative stream of our own tradition, but also to explore other traditions. So we started in 2019 doing more contemplative work inside the adult formation program. But we also had another goal that which was part of the original mission, which is to keep as a priority being particularly open to people who wouldn't normally come to a church. And so to be a kind of a side door, or even like a side porch or a back porch for the church. So we wanted to be a spiritual community for people who may or may not feel comfortable in a church. And so that continues to be, and I'm going to share some statistics in a minute, but that continues to be one of our primary goals, is to be a place where people who go to church and people who may or may not go to church mix. And the last priority of the Abbey is to have a strong online presence and be less rooted to a single geographical location. So most of what we do at the Abbey, we do online. We do on Zoom. I think about 80% of what we do is online. There are some monthly in-person things, and there are like we do periodic retreats, but the week in, week out work of the Abbey happens on Zoom. And because of that, we have a collection of community members who are not in Austin and not even in Texas and not Episcopalian. So here's some stats about the Abbey. There are about 60 active participants, and 38% of the participants are members of St. David's. So St. David's started the Abbey, St. David's supports the Abbey, and 40% almost are members of the church. 62%, that means, are not members of St. David's. So we realized after we did this survey that we're really meeting our goal of reaching outside the walls of the church and expanding the reach of St. David's. 22% are from other denominations inside the Christian tradition. 12% are from other Episcopal churches, and most of those are outside of Austin. 72% of the people at the Abbey would call themselves churchgoers, but 28% do not consider themselves churchgoers. And some call themselves Christians and some don't, and some call themselves post-church Christians. And 75% live in Austin and 25% live in other cities and other states. So that's sort of who the Abbey is and where St. David's as a church is having this reach beyond these walls. So that is exciting, we think. So the Abbey is really a cluster of smaller communities and that the Abbey itself supports. So we have a labyrinth community, Enneagram community, meditation group, spiritual book discussion group. We have a Sunday morning thing called The Gathering that happens two Sundays a month on Zoom. We do in-person retreats, and we have a fabulous blog named Practicing Presence. So those are the communities that make up the Abbey right now. And we're always, one of the things about us, some words and phrases that describe us. One of them is spirit-led and gift-based. So we are always open to the gifts that people bring to start new things. So for example, the blog was Melanie brings a gift, the gift of being an editor. And so we birthed that. And so some words and phrases that describe the Abbey, contemplative, less hierarchical, collaborative, spirituality-oriented, God-centered, Jesus-centered for many people, not everybody, open and affirming, interstate in that lots of different states in the United States, people participate. It's a place to be heard and to hear others. We're very discussion-based. We're going to be in discussion the rest of the time here. We're ecumenical. Spiritual journey oriented, and authenticity and connection are important to us. And that is how Mona came to invite us to give this presentation. So we're going to spend the rest, I'll stop talking and see if there are any comments or questions, and then we're going to go on to actually practicing some things around authenticity and connection. Yeah, Diane. Oh, yes. Yeah, the Labyrinth community. Yeah, we have Labyrinth Walk. There's an in-person Labyrinth Walk once a month and an online community. Yeah. So that's the Abbey. That's a general overview of who we are. And any questions or thoughts?
Join all the time. So if you didn't start at the Abbey at the beginning,
it's opened. Yeah, there's.
Beth has said you can never be late to the Abbey. That should be in the core values.
Yes, I think that would be in a core value if we had the Abbey's core values. You're never late. Yeah. But people do join all the time. And there's always fresh blood coming in, fresh conversation, fresh perspectives. Yeah. I'm glad you said that. We're going to use poetry today. Yes, this is mostly about like just a general overview of who we are, but how we work is we do a lot of reading and discussing and poetry. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, well, I'm going to turn it over to Janet, who's going to lead us in our first exploration of authenticity.
So we were very grateful for this opportunity because authenticity and connection are two core values that the Abbey lives out in pretty much everything we do. And so I'm going to talk about authenticity, and in a very Abbey sort of way. I'm not going to give you the answer or the definition of authenticity, but we're going to collectively kind of come up with what we know as a definition, deeper than just what we think about authenticity, what we know. And the way we're going to do this is through poetry. One of the things that we do at the Abbey a lot is something called Lectio Divina, which is an ancient practice that can be done in ancient ways. It was often done with scripture, and it's a lovely way to read scripture. But it can also be done with poetry or even with an art image or even with the earth. There's something called Terra Divina, where you can go for a hike and listen in a certain way to the spirit speaking. So we're going to talk about the first poem we're going to talk about is this one, I Will Not Die an Unlived Life. So as I read this poem, I want to invite you to notice within yourself as I read it, what word or phrase draws your attention. There's no right or wrong answer. Whatever captures your attention, and we're going to read it through twice, but the first time we read it through, we're just going to listen for the word or phrase that draws your attention. Some people who are visual sometimes say what word or phrase shimmers for you. And that can be a helpful thing. So this is the poem we're going to start with. I will not die an unlived life. And I will go ahead and read it the first time. Then we'll have another voice read it the second time. So you're listening for a word or phrase that draws your attention. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom. And that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit. We're going to take just a moment of silence to listen within what word or phrase draws your attention.
Blossom.
Blossom. Others. Loosen.
Accessible.
Accessible. Inhabit, live in fear, wing, unlived,
loosen my heart,
risk my significance, open me,
promise.
Allow my living to open me. Goes on as fruit. So we'll read it a second time. And this time we're going to listen for what speaks to me today. What insights or reflections do I have? Another word for that is what connects with my life in this reading, in this poem. Is there somebody who would be willing to read from the audience? Or maybe we should do it with a mic. Yes. Just read the poem again.
I will not die an unlived life. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit.
Thank you. So we're going to take another moment. And again, you're listening to what the Spirit might have to say about what speaks to you today, what insights or reflections, what connects with your life. So, any connections? Anything speaking to you today? I choose.
I live in fear of falling and catching.
Mm-hmm. Torch. Thank you, Diane.
To allow my living to open me.
To allow my living to open me. And that creates a beautiful picture, doesn't it?
Make me less afraid.
Make me less afraid. So what does this say about authenticity to you? Yeah, it's from the inside out, isn't it? Rather than the outside in. Yeah, embrace your own reality, that this is where the Spirit works and is bearing fruit.
I think it reminds me that there's a struggle, but not to give up hope.
Yep.
It's got the struggle in.
And the vision, yeah. The poet holds on to both, doesn't she? A lot of journeying and process and growth and change and stretching. You can feel the stretch in the poem, can't you? So next, we're going to engage a second poem, but we're going to do this in smaller groups. At the Abbey, we do a lot of stuff in very small groups. So we're going to let these groups form organically with 3, 4, 5, whatever is the people around you. And the next poem we're going to engage is called Right Here. And again, we're going to do the same questions, just form in a small group. And we're going to do the work the same process, but this time in a smaller group. So I invite you to just gather with those close to you. And whatever forms organically, whatever size that group is just fine. Yeah. And I will give you instructions once you're gathered in a group. So you begin, as we begin as a larger group, with somebody reading it and one individual reading the poem and the group listening for a word or phrase, and then just work through. I will pace you, but we'll read it and then ask for a word or phrase and then share that word or phrase, and then we'll together go on to the second part. So go ahead and somebody in the group read it and everybody listen for a word or phrase. Thank you. So go ahead and read it again if you haven't started that already, and ask the second set of questions. All right, take a moment or two to wrap up your conversation and we'll join again. So let's join together. You don't need to move your chairs because we're going to do the small group thing again in a little bit, but if you can orient yourself this way. Was there a stanza that stood out to you? Was there something you learned about yourself or learned from others?
Our group spent a lot of time on the statement, under dreaming all your effort.
Oh. Yes. The opposite of what we usually do. Yeah. The opposite of all the high expectations, right? Other thoughts? Something that stood out to you? Something you learned? Requisition. Isn't that a good word? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does this say about authenticity? Where do you see invitations to authenticity in this? Yeah. I saw something that somebody had put out there. I don't remember if it was on what social media platform it was on, but it was something about we always make New Year's resolutions about improving ourselves. What if we made the resolution to be ourselves? What a concept to underdo. What an idea. What if that was okay?
And also, just I like that right here, right now. It's kind of like a reminder, like if you feel like you're fading into not being authentic, you know, like you're trying to put on some kind of face.
Yes. You can start now. You have everything you need to start now. Yeah. Yes, it's even using our skill that takes us away from authenticity to become more authentic. I love it. Great observation. Very tricky of the poet, right? Ellen? It's a reliable guide, right? Yeah. What a wonderful picture of authenticity that could be for us, is to listen to our heartbeat. That's that in the moment. Well, thank you all. I'm going to hand it over to Linda, who's going to help us explore connection.
Microphones and I are not great friends, but I'll do my best. Mine to talk about is connection, because authenticity and connection. Can you hear me okay? Okay. I thought about it and we talked about it, and I decided to Google it and see what it said. And it said, connection is when two or more people interact with each other and each person feels valued, seen, and heard. There's no judgment and you feel stronger and nourished after engaging with them. And I was sort of surprised that it was quite so philosophical and actually very spiritual in its orientation. And in thinking about connection, Corinne Ware, who was the dean of my program at the seminary, wrote a few things about the connection with religion and spirituality. And so I pulled them out. One is from her Discover Your Spiritual Type. And she suggested that the primary purpose of religion was to enable connection between the person and the creator. And then in her book, St. Benedict on the Freeway, she talked a lot about recollection, the inner life of recalling God's presence in our lives and developing an interior life through spiritual practice. And the result, as she put it, is an increased outer life of connection, compassion, and a certain composure. So those were kind of reflective for me as to where connection can, it's a feeling, but kind of something that verbally I could lay out and kind of see. Being a visual person, being able to see it makes a difference for me. And that's part of what my experience with the Abbey has been, a deepening of the connection, providing the opportunity for more intimacy, really, both with God, with other people, sometimes with myself, like we just read in the poem, and the church as well. What we thought we would do was get two more poems and using first one as the larger group like we did, and then doing it with Lectio Divina with the same questions. And if you all are game, then we'll continue with that. The next one we're going to do is the one called Belonging. Oops, did I think I moved it? Oh, you put it up there. Okay. So I'll read it first, and then if somebody wants to volunteer to read it a second time, we'll be listening for the word or phrase. Belonging. And if it's true we are alone together. The way blades of grass are alone, but exist as a field. Sometimes I feel it, the green fuse that ignites us, the wild thrum that unites us, an inner hum that reminds us of our shared humanity. Just as 35 trillion red blood cells join in one body to become one blood, just as 136,000 notes make up one symphony, alone as we are, our small voices weave into the one big conversation. Our actions are essential to the one infinite story of what it is to be alive. When we feel alone, we belong to the grand communion of those who sometimes feel alone. We are the dust that hopes, a rising of dust, a thrill of dust that dances in the light with all other dust, the dust that makes the world. So if there's a word or phrase that you're drawn to or strikes you, a thrill of dust. Say that again. Would someone be willing to read it a second time? With or without the microphone?
Belonging. And if it's true we are alone, we are alone together. The way blades of grass are alone, but exist as a field. Sometimes I feel it. The green fuse that ignites us, the wild thrum that unites us, an inner hum that reminds us of our shared humanity. Just as 35 trillion red blood cells join in one body to become one blood, just as 136,000 notes make up one symphony, alone as we are, our small voices weave into one big conversation. Our actions are essential to the one infinite story of what it is to be alive. When we feel alone, we belong to the grand communion of those who sometimes feel alone. We are the dust that hopes, a rising of dust, a thrill of dust, the dust that dances in the light with all other dust, the dust that makes the world. By Rosemary Wotolla.
If you want to sit with it just a moment and see how that relates to you in your life or any other phrases that catch your imagination or touch you. I noticed there are a lot of action words in there that fit with that.
It's sort of a reminder that even though you feel alone, there's so many other people with those feelings, but you're not alone.
One of the things that often happens when you feel alone is you kind of close. And what to me, what it indicates is when you feel alone, if you'll open, then you connect with other. It's an interesting phrase, connecting with other people who are alone. But it's that letting it be an opportunity to open instead of to stay closed.
And I like that. The one infinite story. It's like that in the poem, she dances with individuality connected. And does it beautifully.
And then she dances at the end. Yes.
I learned about connection from this is the sometimes I feel it part.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes we feel connected and sometimes we don't, but it doesn't mean we're not connected. Just the acknowledging of the ebb and flow of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in this poem, alone means isolate. Because I don't think alone is a bad place to be. Whereas isolation is a bad place.
Yeah. That's some, I think for me, that's part of that closing down. And then we do feel isolated. And it's nice that there can be a choice in it. Yeah. Do we have time to do the shorter poem? I think we have time to do on the other side, the shorter poem, Epiphany, that you can do in the small group that you have. Is there a Madeline Langle one? It's just short. So again, do as you did the last time. Starting with somebody reading and doing the word or phrase, and then the second time to read what speaks to you today.
All right, let's wrap up. I want to invite the small groups to share out if you have anything from your discussion that you think would be a benefit to the rest of the group. I invite you to share a little bit about your discussions. What do you learn about belonging from this poem? What spoke to you? Yeah. Yes, we might have edited that, you know, and just scratch it. There, Glory. Yeah. Well, it's always good to notice what makes you step back. Too, right? Like part of connecting is like noticing, oh, that makes me want to draw away. So that's useful. Yeah. Thank you. Any other group want to say anything? No one? Yep. Connecting is hard and risky. Risky. Well, you know, one of the reasons we're talking about these two words today, authenticity and connection, is because they're core values of St. David's, and they're also core values of the Abbey, and we share that. The Abbey and St. David's share these two core values. And so I'm curious about where anything from any of the poems that we read today, or anything that you just think about authenticity and connecting, that you want to share, where do you see anything from today in the life of St. David's? Where is authenticity and connecting? Where do they come alive for you in the life of St. David's? Well, Blair?
Those of you that were at my thought service, when Chuck did his sermon,
yeah.
One thing I really appreciate about Chuck is that he opens himself up and he's vulnerable and he shows his feelings. And I just think that's just beautiful. That's connecting. And
yeah.
And I told, you know, afterwards I told him, I'm like, to me, he's brave and he's authentic and he's a great role model. You know, we're allowed to choke up here and feel passion.
Yeah.
And be vulnerable. That's part of,
And it helps you feel connected in the liturgy and to the other people and to know that it's okay for you to do that too. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, Judith. Oh, what do you mean by that? Say a little more.
Teachers are there and exhibit love and openness and allowance of children to do and be who they are.
Yeah.
And to sort of look at them and say, yeah, this is, and if you don't know this, it's okay. And if you do know this, okay. Because I'm challenged by the fact that there's not a lot of Christian instruction going on at home. And so I feel like I'm always a day late and a dollar short, and I'm explaining things on the way to church, on the way home, not day to day. So I just love that that's, and I said that to them, and I said, no, that's okay. it happens all the time. It's just not just hang in there, trust the process.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these poems somebody said were about process. And if you trust that there, this is a process that your granddaughter will connect to all the teaching and everything. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Session. What is the Abbey? I don't know what the Abbey is.
Okay. The Abbey is in like an online spiritual community that the St. David's is part of the St. David's Adult Formation Program, but really it exists to face outward for people who may or may not want a spiritual community that is tied to a traditional church. So it's a more contemplative, spiritual journey oriented place. We happen to do most of the stuff online, but there are some in-person things, but I'm happy to talk to you more about it later too. We talked about it at the beginning a little bit. Yeah. Glad you asked though. Other ways you see authenticity in St. David's and connecting before we wrap up. Yeah, it really lives that value of service, especially and connecting together. Diane.
St. David's has pursued correcting or at least acknowledging some historical mistakes on the part of the church, part of this church, in this community, and the struggle and keeping on. Doing that is something that is, I think, very impressive as far as being authentic to the core values of St. David's.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't really connect without that authenticity, right? Like you can't keep connecting. Yeah, and that's if you went to the 9 o'clock service and heard Chuck's sermon, I think that he did a really good job of not yet, but he did a great job of talking about not putting a brave face on everything. Sometimes God's heart is broken, you know, and that's what I hear you saying. To be authentic, we have to be able to say we made a mistake. The way we lived wasn't in line with God's vision for the world, God's dream. And in order to be authentic, we have to say we have a different understanding of God's dream. Right now, and we're gonna, and that can lead to connection, but without that, connection is almost impossible. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Well, I think that people are getting ready to go to the 11:15 service, so we're gonna end. Thank you all very much for coming and participating in being brave and risky and risk being connecting with each other and being authentic with each other in your small groups. So thank you.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.